retreat.
Oh, say what?
I think we can see y'all at open retreat.
That's what we been.
You good, bro? I am, I'm good.
I'm good, man. I didn't see you.
Yeah, how's over here?
Nothing help you over here for a moment. Nothing help you over here. No, that's why I came with a bunch of you. Oh, yeah.
Welcome in, everyone. I am Morgan Woods, your 2024 GCNA president. And serving you as your VP is Ms. Gina. You raise your hand, Ms. Gina. And welcome to the May General Body Meeting.
Yeah, I'll take a little time to make Before we leave, if anyone, like I'll be able to, you know, post out to anyone,
has any idea of any contact, just let myself or Karen know before we do. Thank you.
Are you supposed to extend a boot this coming Saturday?
Always.
Taste of Grove Park?
Taste of Grove Park. I'll be there at Taste of Grove Park.
I heard you're handing out sand.
Got to talk before I share about that. That's my favorite.
Okay, does everyone see April Profit Loss up there?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to cover the profit loss, money in, money out of the account, and then I'm going to cover the comparison of the profit loss for the year, and then I'm going to compare against what we budgeted for the year. So just to refresh everyone, the last 2 months have only had credits, right? So we didn't have a past budget. February and March only have money coming in, nothing going out, right? So April, I've categorized it as three buckets coming in. The website, which involved membership, merchandise, and I tucked mailbox in there. I could call this operation, but we did get our mailbox. We were trying to get a hold of it. That was some money coming in from membership and donations. And then we spent money, like I said, on the mailbox, also on some draft merchandise to retest our system. So I have a banner actually over there behind Dorothy if people would like to check it out or hold it up. I wasn't aware it as a cape, but I thought that was too far. So we also have t-shirts and some other things. So we're getting that engine going again. If any people have ideas, Ms. Gina was just saying, like, we should get a tablecloth and other things. So if people have ideas, we're going to figure out a way to make our merchandise flow. So that's the only money that went out. The money that came in was either, again, that membership money, that $300, $250 as part of Sam's repayment of her unauthorized withdrawals, and then $500 from Grove Park Foundation in support of Grove Park Kids. We partnered with them a few months ago. Thank you, Gavin and Kareem, who's not here. So that's all the money out, money in for this month. Any questions about this month? So just to refresh everyone, there's $13,500 in the bank, $579.87. Grove Park Gives is earmarked for roughly $4,000 of that, meaning the donation for money that's in there is earmarked for that program. We won the Food Well Alliance grant for the garden, so it's $1,500 that's earmarked for the garden, and the rest is general funds for us to spend as we build on websites or whatever we So that's the breakdown of the earmarks within that total, which again, we're at $13,500. So the year to date, if folks remember, January was a lot of expenses. So I'm gonna run down some of this list. So the festival had some money in and out, even though we budgeted to not do, there's no budgeted dollars for the festival, there were some transactions still owed coming in both directions. That's the first plan. The general website, I really want to be able to break this down by merchandise versus donation versus membership, but I haven't gotten there yet. But it's roughly 1,800 has come in. The vast majority of that is our membership dues. There is a little amount of the other categories though. And we spent roughly 238 on general operations, food for the meetings, the website, etc. The unauthorized withdrawal, there was 4,000 out, we received 750 of that back. Beautification, again, we received that $1,500 grant, which we have not spent any of yet. Beautification, Friends of Grove Park, we won that Park Pride grant for 4.5, which that 4.5 covers a good chunk of that 7 that those park signs and Grove Park cost. We go all that on YouTube. And then Grove Park Gives has raised $1,300 so far, and we fixed a roof earlier in the year. That's at 5.7. That was a roof, right? So, that we did this year, a roof. Did we do a roof this year? Yes, a roof, right. Okay, so, which, you know, credit, we brought in less than we've spent so far in the year. That's the amount. The last number there at the bottom is at $13,500. When compared with the budget, how we voted to spend the money, you know, there's, this is just income. I'm going to show expenses in a second. The middle column is how we budgeted to make our money, what we believe we will make, and that right column is what we have made so far in the different categories, right? So we've made 8,000 of the 9,000 we plan to make. The majority of that is we assume we're going to make GrowPark Gives based on last year's GrowPark Gives dollars that came in. That's the 6,000. But there's also still a chunk we expect to make in membership dues and a chunk that we expect to find a way to pay for that south of science in the park. Right? So those are the big difference makers that make up that difference between the 19.5 and the 8.5. That's all the way. Okay, let me pause. I didn't take questions yet. Questions. All right. Yeah, good question. So there was an event right with ticket sales that we never cashed out last year. So it happened in this fiscal year for last year's
festival.
Yeah. That is a good idea. I think that's great.
So we didn't refund those ticket purchases via December?
No. We should. That's a good idea. Yes.
And so there's another question, do we know how much money we have as well as every other company? Because it says.
So this is income, I'll get to expenses in a second. Yeah. And that $10,000 was on last year, which I don't have slides on, but I could pull up a slide of last year or we could talk about last year.
I would suggest separating that as income. And the ticket sales, because we have those.
Yeah, it's currently money that hit the account, so I report on it. Because it's a part of the program. Yeah. Because it came in, I'm reporting on it as a money movement, but you're right, it is $130 of the total budget that hopefully by end of the year can be organized enough to be back or something. Yeah. Correct. Any other questions about this year's year-to-date income? Okay, year-to-date expenses. I'm sorry, this is so small. So the middle column is what we budgeted to spend. This budget is what we budgeted to spend. Year to date is what we actually spent, and the far right is the difference so far. So the budget does cover the full year, so we have many more months in which to spend our money. But it's currently, if you look at that very bottom row, we spent a good chunk. Or let me say, in terms of spending, money has left the account to the amount that very close to what we're spending for the whole year, right? Now, there's a large chunk of undesignated, GrowPark Gives has spent most of its budget amount. If it makes a bunch more, maybe we can come back and talk about that, et cetera. But overall, we've spent a good chunk of the money we're planning for the year already, which, we'll probably have to, as a body, think about how to handle that, as we'll buy the expenses for the rest of the year. Let me just pause there, and I think we'll come back to last year in just a second if we finish and make this discussion. Okay, any questions about what's on the screen right now? Okay, do you want to ask questions about last year?
So, do you know what exactly how many members are paid?
What Keem is referencing is last year for West Side Wing Festival, we spent roughly $10,000 and the event did not happen. That's the number he referenced earlier. I have the list, but not in a slide or a prepare. Off the top of my head, it was like 10 members, but it's off the top of my head. I would have to prepare for that. I did not prepare to report on West Side. Between invoices and receipts, there most of the records are private. Like most of them are accountable. They're not. I would have to prepare a report. I mean, I'm not prepared. from the finance side, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm happy to, in terms of like a slide like this, where the money went as far as I saw the account for you. Yeah, I didn't prepare that this one.
And also, this is our question around this, right, the finance is this. Yeah, we need to say, I'm just using one.
So we as body have received 750 of the four. The repayment plan is structured in $500 in 2 week increments, and we are, from this point in time on the plan, we're like halfway of what should have been paid. We can't get
any. Hi, everyone. And this I'm going to put everyone on notice for a special call meeting. 5 days from today's date, I'll also send the literatures out in email. We have to bring two individuals, Samantha and Corey, to a special call meeting to understand what happened with the Westside Home Investment and also the money that has been taken out of that account unauthorized and see what our next step would be going forward as to improving the funds. It's been very hard to have conversations with certain individuals. So I have the general body and the list that we'll have a special call in 5 days and the next day to discuss these matters.
So not Ashley also as president of the
panel? I don't have a way to get in contact with her. If you could help me get in contact with her, that would be great so that I could have her on the board, but I have no way to get in contact with her.
So you intend to meet on Sunday?
That's Mother Day.
That's Monday.
Monday. I'm sorry, 6 days from today. Monday.
Okay. Any other budget questions? Concerns? Wonders? Paradoxes? Okay. So the last thing I'll say on finance is, it's also in our bylaws that there be a hardship mechanism. So we, our current website didn't have the motions for that, so Zed and I worked to get that in place. We will take any feedback on the plan I'm about to describe. But if you go to the website, under membership, there's a hardship option. Okay, a number of people in this meeting have said they would pay for any of the memberships, so I'm looking at y'all. So I did it as a test, and so what we're going to do is we're going to keep track of those hardship mechanisms of how many people buy that type of membership, right? And so currently I only have one, because I pay for one, but folks can buy more. And then what we'll do is, as requested, we will hand those out. We will assign them with like a promo code. So let's say I had a hardship, I came to Dorothy or someone else at GPNS, and I need a membership. We would look at how many sponsors we've had, we would give out a promo code, that person could become a member for no cost, right? So that's how we're gonna do that. A couple things about this. One is we're not gonna interview or interrogate the person who asks for hardship. We're gonna trust in good faith that people come and ask for hardship if they need it. We are not in a position of taking financial records as a body, we're not gonna start doing that, right? We also will only have so many as people give, right? So what we might start doing is if the request outpaces the donations, we'll put out, it'll hopefully become normal each month, to say, we have 4 or 5 requests, is anyone willing, right? So it'll be on a first-come, first-served basis. We think that's the sustainable, safe way to do it. If anyone else has any feedback, but more importantly, if you feel like you can get it, you should go to the website and pay for some sponsorships, and because we already know we have some folks in our neighborhood who need that. So they will go out, yes. So, yes. Any other questions about hardship or membership? Okay, great. So you all who are willing to buy sponsorship, we make it clear, you should go to the website and do that. Okay. All right, good. Okay. I think if there are no more questions on budget, that is the entire financial report. My goals for next month is to do less other items, focus more on financial, and get on the website a history of all the profit loss by month and year to date, so that we can like download these things off the website. Currently, we're not there. Yes. Yes. A household has two. So one household.
So one thing you pay that you can have a separate. So a house has a spouse or a partner or something like that. So just make sure it's not. It sounds like there's like three members. One membership allows you two additional.
No, no. I'm sorry. Let me be clear. One household consists of two voting members. One membership with one household. So the word membership and household are. If you pay $40 on the website, you and one other adult living in your home,
does it have to be?
One other human can vote, right? So two people per household per membership. Thank you. Is that? Do you feel fair? Yeah, you feel fair. Everyone else feels okay. Okay, great. Okay.
Okay, so at this time, I would like to give Tori an opportunity to come up if she would like to shine light on the festival, since she is here now.
Is this a report on the Southern Festival?
Yes.
So as many of you guys know, we started years ago thinking about how we wanted to create an event that would be a culminating event that would be a branding opportunity for Grove Park, and we developed an event in partnership with Grove Park Foundation and so we took it over as our own. Over the course of the years, it's become different iterations, but in 2019, we decided to come up with an event called Westside Wing Festival, and we held that event successfully in 2019. COVID happens, we put in our application, COVID happens, we have an event scheduled for June of 2020, and that, of course, did not happen. We took a hiatus all the way to 2023 and tried to reboot the event. We applied for a permit in May with the City of Atlanta and Special Events Permits. In June, we presented to the NPUs, NPUJ, GPNA, and received approvals for those.
for the event, which we intended to host at Westside Park. And the event would be between 700 and 1,000 attendees is what we were hoping for. We submitted an alcohol permit as a part of that process, which is how we intended for the event to make us money. So we applied for separate permitting for alcohol through the city, through the Atlanta Police Department. And that was also done in June. They moved to an online system called ATL4, and we applied for the permit through that process. In July, I checked the court system. I was checking it weekly and saw no updates related to the application. In July, I was referred to the APP representative in charge of permits to check the status of the event. I spoke to him and was told that we submitted the application incorrectly and that it wasn't the one-day permit that we applied for. It was a traditional alcohol license. And so certain changes had to be made, and the new application was submitted on the 31st of July. I was notified, I told you guys, I was notified of the error. So I'm going to take you guys to the timeline, okay? The event was scheduled for September 23rd of 2023. May, we applied for a permit. June, we applied for an alcohol permit. July, we realized that something has gone wrong with the alcohol permit. We resubmit the alcohol permit, and when I realized that I still had not received any inspections, I reached back out to the city, or back out to Atlanta Police Department, only to find out that we were approved by the License Review Board without them even notifying me I was approved. I was notified that I was approved. However, I had not done a Fulton County Health inspection, I had not done a city planning inspection, and we had not done a fire inspection. So those three things had to be done in order for the alcohol permit to be done. So I go about doing those steps over the course of the early September, okay? And we put in all the permits, we do all the things, and we're waiting on the city to get us our permits back and our approvals back. And the alcohol permit, up until the day of the event, we think we're gonna get it, and we don't. Along with all of this, the actual permit for the event is still in process with the city. I had called city planning, I called folks that I know in the city, I called our city council representatives to try to get a rush on our permit to find out why it was taking so long for it to be signed if it had been on the mayor's desk. I did a forensic audit of every single email that I received and put it into a concise document to explain exactly what I did, mostly by myself, but also I had a small team of people who were assisting me with this process. To give background, there at this time, we have Ashley Pruitt as our president, Samantha as our vice president. I'm serving as the chair of the West Island Festival Communications Committee. We had no treasurer, we had no secretary. We have one board member. One general board member. So Ashley is trying to assist me with this process. I'm sending her quotes. I ask her to, I'm not finished. I'm just gonna finish. You can ask your questions. I'm happy to answer any questions, I promise. Ask me to submit quotes to her. I submit proposals to her. We go through this process together, all three of us, along with members of the committee. So, That is how we got we got items approved throughout this process. A summary in general is that there were many challenges. There were many challenges in the city, and there were many challenges in our infrastructure and our setup and how we went about trying to accomplish and achieve the event. We had issues with vendors. We had issues being able to, there are people here who can attest to this. We couldn't get vendors to vend this event. We did everything possible to get vendors to attend this event, and we were not able to do that, so that was also a hurdle that we faced. We were able to get sponsors and alcohol, but that was a challenge the first year we did it, and then it was in reverse. It was a hard trying to get food and wings at this event. So there was a vendor issue, there was a city issue, there was our infrastructure and our leadership and missing parts that were part of the issue. So there were a lot of things in retrospect and reflection that caused the event to fail. So that's what I have to share with you guys. I spent hundreds of hours on this event. I am truly sorry that the event did not come together as we had all hoped and planned. I for sure will reflect on my leadership and the ways in which I could have done things differently. I'm happy to do that and will do that. I'm your neighbor. I'm a volunteer. I'm doing the best I can. I'm a third grade teacher. I'm just doing this along with all the other things that I do. I run two committees for GPNA. And I was helping out with secretary duties when I could because we did not have one. This is essentially what led to the result that we have come to see. I do have some documentation from our rental company, and I know that we can recoup those costs. I forwarded those items to Tom for him to review. So we do have some credits back that we can use for the future event. So that's awesome. So essentially, that's what happened with West Side Wing Festival. That is what happened with West Side Wing Festival. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys have about what I did, how I did it, where the money went, anything like that. If you guys have any.
So the $10,000, I heard you say it would be
perfect. So with $10,000, can you tell us what was the money went or give us a breakdown of that?
Right. I thought you guys had already, I don't have any of those documents on me right now because the breakdown has already been done up of that share. But it went to rentals. Rentals
for a stage, it went to rentals for tents, it went to branding merchandise. And it went to marketing. Went to marketing. We spent $2,500 in marketing and promotion. And we spent $1,000 to assist with the day of a planner to assist us for the day of and some of the people as well.
Okay.
Um,
But because I could not get access to those funds in an efficient manner, I used my own money to pay for the permits, which probably came to $1,000, which is not included in any of the numbers, and I have not asked for that money back.
Have you reported that to Thomas Webb?
I have not asked for the money back, and I don't intend to ask for the money back. It's at this time of donation. I'm not going to ask for the money back, but I can do it at any time. Okay.
Because, and I totally take responsibility, I can't put any of this on you, Tori.
What happened was, I went into the city of Atlanta, it's a very complicated process, as she said. Went into the city of Atlanta, turned in the funds. I also did not request reimbursement for the funds that I spent. I didn't have access to the American assessments. I didn't have access to the bank account, but I spent all my money and I chose to use that as a donation. I guess I could submit paperwork and everything, even if it's a donation to use. But nonetheless, I went in on the day of, I submitted the paperwork. I was told that everything was approved. Everything was stamped, everything was at the third. Needless to say, I think maybe a week later, I got an email saying that someone else had had that same day, and they had literally filed minutes before
I filed. In our park.
And even though there's a process to go through the approval to set up the event in our park, we knew nothing of it, though. Immediately, we tried to reach out to the organization. I think we were quite friendly. We tried to reach out to the organization. Again, this is what we did in our correspondence. We were quite friendly. They were a bit hostile where they thought that we were coming at it from a sense of we wouldn't approve their event unless we could collaborate with them. So I guess at that point we just chose to scrap and move on because I think that it was too late in the game to choose another game and stuff like that. And so the next process I participated in, which is the permitting process for the following year, it's the same permitting process, but they did let me know that a lot of things had changed. The system had changed, how they went about going to do things had changed. They said, and this I think to this point, they said that a lot of the things that you submit on the front end just needs to be filled out, right? You would do a lot of other stuff like the alcohol permit and the securing, things like porta-potties and stuff on the back end, right? But they allow you to submit, they allow you to pay, they give you promises or whatever. And I guess from Tori's perspective, she handled it on the back end when it came to the alcohol permit and all that other stuff, which is a more exhaustive process. Or whatever, but I guess I'm just speaking to, and that leads to my question, I guess I'm just speaking to the idea that it's not as cut and dry, it's not as black as pretty white as I think some people think it is. But my question is, how many of the funds in my area, I don't see the thing to break down the funds, but how many of the funds can simply be recuperated for another future event so that
right.
We can focus on that and then maybe focus on what we can't recuperate, right?
Oh, you want me to answer? Okay. The rental company that we were renting the tents from have agreed to use our funds to credit toward a future event. I've sent those emails to but they have agreed to allow us to use those funds for a future event. The amount, I don't know offhand, so I don't have any of those numbers. So there's those funds.
It would be easier to speak to how much we can.
Is there a number associated with that?
So to piggyback off Brandon, I think that the biggest, and Tom and I, and they spoke about it, the biggest opportunity is the reconciliation process. So I think the most important part is providing the invoices for every vendor that we paid money to. Because right now we're in a deficit, and there's no records of any type to make everything even. We have a handful of invoices, but there are several outstanding invoices that haven't been turned in. And I think once we should have invoices for everything. And once we get those invoices, I think that we can kind of move forward, and then we'll be able to see, and then include what's allocated for a credit and what's not, what literally flat out needs. So by this is 8 months ago now at this point, right? Because the festival was in September, not May. And I think that if we can get not just from any invoices outstanding back on medicine. For the most part, everything is almost locked. We probably have about 5 or 6 invoices. Okay, so we're only really short a couple, right? And so that's the gap that we're trying to fill. And once we do that, then I think that we can kind of move forward from everything.
I'm just
going to.
I don't know. I don't know what's outstanding.
From Zed.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I asked him. He did, check for the, you received the deposit with the check, so we should have a record of the check.
We have record of all the checks.
Okay, so then that's part of this fee, and the other fee was the invoice thing that I sent you, that's it. So it's those two fees, it's 2,800 total, or something like that. So I don't know if it is outstanding or not.
I agree that there could be a work session where we want
to. Okay. I'm happy to be there for that.
I have two questions.
I just wanted to ask if when we do get responses back from people saying that they will credit us,
yeah,
if we can ask them to include whether or not they're giving us a particular period of time to use that. I would hate to have them say, hey, we have to use it within 12 months or something.
I can have some clarity on that.
Thank you.
So, when did you submit those receipts to
home? Let's say, as in the
Friday drafting? Yeah, most of those invoices does not show payment. So, we need to make sure that we have receipts to show that the payment was paid towards that.
I don't have those. I'm not the treasurer. I didn't pay them, so I don't have them. Because I didn't pay out the money. I always send things to the president saying this is what needs to be paid, and then she paid it, or she gave me a check for me to pay. So I don't have it. I don't have that.
That was,
I can't, I cannot be the treasurer, the secretary, the head of two committees, the marketing person. Like, I cannot, I could not, and cannot do that. I'm just, right, okay. So I'm just telling you that I have what I have, and I provided to Ashley, and Ashley paid said invoices, and I'm not sure if she, basically guys, what she did was she had to pay out of her own pocket in many cases because we couldn't get access to our funds through Citizens Trust. I'm sorry I have to put them on blast, but we did not have any checks for quite a long time, and definitely not a debit card. To make any of these purchases, where vendors are asking for fees online, which is the most efficient way to be paid, right? And so she would pay out of her own pocket and then write herself a check to reimburse herself this $10,000. This mostly came through her own bank account due to inefficiencies with our bank. So that is why the checks and balances are probably convoluted, and she probably doesn't know, can't find, whatever, because of that. So that's what it was. That is what it was.
I have a comment more so than a question, but moving forward, we have to let an organization do the bylaw review, because at this point, it's not just the people that's the problem. It's the process, it's the problem. If we do not have a functioning bank account to do this, we should have called it off a long time ago. We should make a motion that if we don't have the board in place, and we don't have the resources in place, and we can't have access to our bank account, we know that it should even be planned until we get those things in
place. I appreciate you saying that, and I, look, listen, foresight and reflection is a wonderful thing to have, right? When you're able to look back on something, you can say, wow, that was probably not a good idea. We should have done this, we should have done that. Much agree. Much agree. In many respects, I agree with you guys. So I'm gonna slow down. Thank you.
So we're gonna continue with the meeting. Just one last thing, Tori. Do you know if by Monday you have a lot of items for the meeting?
No, I can't make any promises to Monday or anything like that, but I will come up with a date that I can get that to you or present to the best I can. I mean, Tom, to the best I can. What is it specifically that I'm being asked?
looks like there is information, you know, that we need to put back for it as well. I think it would make sense to pull, you know, everyone together at the same time so that we can avoid any kind of fingerprint.
I'll also add Ashley to that email, but I have not been able to contact Ashley. I think you know, also try to, you know,
I don't have to talk about that. No, always have to.
When I took over as treasurer and took over the account from Ashley, she sent the call she had and said that she had. So we could be asked, it's not that the team hasn't been asking, but that's included in the record I have.
But at least she can represent the firm.
Because that is a request you made.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could seems to come down and do it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. Targeted door knocking.
for some dates in May and June. We are hoping to onboard some new members, and we'd like to create a regular meeting time. We're meeting sort of in the middle of the day because that was what's best suitable for Zed and I. But we're looking for more members, so we want to have a more convenient meeting time. And the date for that is to be determined as soon as we sort of engage with those folks and figure out what the most convenient for everybody. Does anyone have any questions or comments about any of those things? If you want to assist with communications or you would like to help with the door knocking campaign, please see me tonight.
Okay, so we're going to call for a backup for our individual title of the week.
We have a few options. It's not something that has been set on.
We are going to have an education meeting coming up soon. We'll put a date on the calendar. If you're interested in joining the education committee, please reach out to admin@worldparkland.com, and we'd love to have you on our committee to, you know, learn about all things APS. Also, I want to say Kip Wilson, your signs, as you probably passed by and saw that it is fixed or been fixed. Their COO, Rachel Ford, I was in communication with her and helped me with that process. They are also in the process of buying, or they've already approved buying a police officer and cross guard for Kip Wilson as well. So that is in the works. If you know anyone interested in filling the cross guard position, I have a contact to reach out to as well. I think that's it. Oh, it's also testing time, so make sure that the kids are getting a good night's rest and a good meal for you. So I asked Ms. Ford, she said it was not on them, so that is on the state. So that's the
sure, I just wanted to say.
Yeah, so they asked for the leader, but she. Yeah, so I did reach out to the state, and they did say that they are in process of ordering. So I know I sent them yesterday out, putting down something, so I'm hoping that that is the device, but I have an applicant for that.
Kroger on Powell Mill, which is normally about a 15-minute trip, it took me 2 hours last year to get back home because there were no detour signs, there were no TCPs, and there were people just parking in the street. It was out of control. So just so everybody understands, when you have an event such as the fest, they have a requirement to notify the NPU and present, but they don't actually have to have our permission to go ahead with the event. So what we did was, is I sent them a pretty detailed information email, and Dorothy has pictures and video to say not only was this an inconvenience, but it's also a safety hazard because the roads were so blocked, you would not have been able to get an ambulance or a fire truck down the road. There were people parking in folks' yards without the permission in their driveways, et cetera. So, I just want everybody to know that we're doing everything we can. The city has indicated to us that they've gone back with their permit, that they will have to answer these questions before they're issued their permit, and that they're supposed to get back to me by tomorrow with the answers to the questions that I have for them. It's the 21st or 20th.
It's Saturday in the morning.
Yeah. So, just to let you know, we have been pushing this since they first presented to the NPU about 2 months ago, and we're not going to drop it. We want to make sure that our residents are not overly inconvenienced like they were last year. Music was blasted until after 11 o'clock. We just can't. I mean, I just think it's wholly disrespectful to our residents for them to do that. We love for them to have the fest like everybody else, but they've got to play by the rules. Yes, ma'am. You have a question for me?
I'll have some.
And we, first time, I have not had any want to apply for a zoning issue. So tomorrow is our zoning meeting. I will, if I don't know if we should even have, we don't have any issues for zoning, but I will set up the zone and I will come online and I'll wait a few minutes to see if anybody shows up, but I have not received anything for zoning for this month or the coming meeting. So if, just for everybody to know, question.
Is there a thing around the development?
They have, so for those who don't know, Gun Club held a public hearing or a public meeting over at Boyd, how long was that, a month ago? And, who's that? April 16th, whatever. And they had a slide pack, which I passed off to Zed to put on the website, so those who did not attend, you see the pack. They're supposed to get back to me to come to present to the community. They have not done that. So when they do, we'll schedule them to come and talk. But until they do, it's, you know, it's on them to come back to us and let us know where they're going to present to the community about their plan of action for gun park.
Stephanie and I were there, and only a small sliver of Grove Park actually falls into that development. And Stephanie helped me out. I think that in the Grove Park section, that was going to be multifamily housing.
My understanding is that they didn't have a very clear, fleshed out plan for the park that would fall in Grove Park, and that they were looking for zoning for an area that falls outside of it. So they were talking about multifamily and townhomes, but they didn't really have
right,
and if
they're
not pushing for it.
Yeah, and that was going to be, the core of the project is outside of the
project. Right. And the little piece with the multifamily buildings, that was at the back end of their development, and that was not going to be the initial part. But why we're concerned about that is, it's going to impact our schools with population of schools. It's also going to impact our neighborhood with traffic. And so they've made some concessions or said they would to accommodate folks that live on that side of Grove Park. So we'll see what happens if they're not come back to present. Any other questions? And I don't have one last question.
I don't know if this is the zoning matter, but when we come to do it, we have an issue about like so right here at the light of Vita Hall Road. I guess a car, a truck, it's like, should we submit those to you, or where do
those go to the city? So he's asking about a work order for something that happened on the crosswalk. So if you call 311, anybody can call, and I can call several things for our neighborhood. You call 311, you get a work order and a work order number, and then you can say again. And you can do it, or you can call Alan and fill up his box. But yeah, so like on my side of Grove Park, we've had three or four trees come down in the last 3 weeks, take out the power twice. So I brought this up. You had to call several times, 311, come get this tree out of the street. You wouldn't leave this tree in the street up in Buckhead, so come get it out of our street. So 311 is the way to do it. You're going to, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a recording, and then they'll call you back, or they'll send you an email with your work order number. So you can call it in, or I can call it in. I'm tired of hearing about pizza. I don't have a problem. I see something, a tree down, a stop sign down, I call it in.
Did they come in? $1 million.
They finally came after the third tree went down. And part of it, so here's the deal, if the tree's on your property, they will cut it down to keep it from the power line, but they won't take it away. But if it's blocking the road or something, they have to come and haul it off. There was any other question?
Right here.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling Jordan Powell. So, it was a tree that came out of the street. It was over the power line. And I called and asked them to it if they could cut that tree, that leaf. You know what they told me? It's not bothering.
Okay, well, let me talk to you afterwards. twice in the last 3 weeks next to a home. So we called the fire department to come and put out the fire, and then Georgia Power showed up the next day and cut the tree down. But with bureaucracy. But I don't have any problem calling them and calling them back. And I have no problem. I called them out last time at the NBU meeting and said, hey, you closed my work order. You didn't show up to fix it. So I don't try to be mean to people, but I will call them out if they're not doing what they're supposed. Anybody else? That's it. Thank you, ma'am.
And we have someone here who does
sorry about that. I was talking folks. We have a new neighborhood association in the district. I'm in the Cary Park Neighborhood Association as their meeting. So it kind of held over a lot longer than I expected. We just had a few brief updates on I wanted to discuss the city budget so that everyone can understand what's being allocated. City announced the proposed budget, which is $2.75 billion, which would be the biggest budget in the city's history. So as far as some of the priorities, which do connect back to Grove Park, first, infrastructure, there would be $30 million that would go to the ancient fire stations to modernize them, as well as address a lot of the maintenance that needs to be taken care of at the fire stations. As far as public safety, the mayor is dedicated for proposing $29.8 million for public safety to upgrade equipment, vehicles, as well as body-worn cameras, as well as $2.1 million for security camera maintenance. And we did receive an email from the representative from the Police Foundation who's handling installing cameras. This Councilmember Hills did allocate $500,000 to cameras within District 9. And so I will share that list with Grove Park leadership, the residents. Many of those cameras have been installed. Some of the cameras are still awaiting installation, and others need to be connected to the system. So what we want to do is make sure that the Police Foundation does kind of speed up the installation of the cameras that have been allocated for District 9 to assist with public safety concerns. And then going along with the focus on the youth, the mayor will be allocating $6.8 million to support youth programming for his Geared Youth Initiative, as well as for the third installment of his summer youth program. And so there will be initial investments and other pots of money that the mayor is going to try to allocate to the youth. So if, you know, the Grove Park Neighborhood Association in partnership with the foundation and other community partners has any initiatives that you guys want to see funded specifically working with the youth, not all of the money that will be available has been allocated. So I'm sure that the mayor's office would be happy to talk about any programs that you guys want to see implemented specifically for the youth within Grove Park. And I'm waiting to get a date for the scrap tire drive from Department of Public Works. They have committed to provide the manpower again so that we can do scrap tire drives again, because we know that that's still an issue. And with summer coming up, we know that with the rain, there'll be issues with mosquitoes as well. So we are working on that. And if there's any other questions or concerns, I can get those back to Councilmember Hillis. But I also want to just give you all an announcement from a watershed standpoint for any residents that might have issues with high water bills. We've been really trying to assist the resident who got a $73,000 water bill at a commercial property, which doesn't make any sense, and more likely is a malfunction of the meters. And so just want to let you all know, if you ever face a very high water bill, please contact the office immediately. Do not wait. And the minute that you decide to go through the appeals process, legally the city can do nothing to assist once it goes to Fulton County Court and you fight it out in court. So I just want to make sure everybody knows to please contact office right away. Do not wait months, because we can try to fight to assist, and legally the Commission on Watershed can reduce water bills that are excessive, but she can do nothing after a resident has decided to go down the road of the appeals process with the appeal board. So I'm just putting that out there, because we do know that residents have that issue with high water bills that are not accurate. So we wanted to try to help you, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody knows about that. That's all I have as far as updates.
It's been about almost a year, about 2 years since Dustin has last showed his face in here. Did you ask him to come and bless the neighborhood association at some point?
I did. He's been tied up in budget hearings and budget meetings for the city budget, and that's why he's going to be coming today. But I have communicated that to him, and I'm going to push as hard as I can that he can come to the next meeting. I do apologize for that. I try to step up, and he's not able to come, but that is legitimate. But he has a budget meeting with city council, which is why he's unable to attend tonight. So you can submit for a reimbursement, but if you're having back and forth disagreements that end up at you having to make a decision about going the route with the water appeals board, then that is when the city's hands are tied. But if, you know, before it gets to that point, you are able to try to get an arrangement or get the watershed departments to iron it out. I'm just saying, it is up to you to immediately reach out to us. Because we got a call yesterday about a $12,000 water bill. So, but she did reach out right away. I'll get your information so we can work with the watershed liaison. And just a heads up, the watershed commissioner has been replaced. Peter Brown was replaced with Commissioner Wiggins, who is the Public Works Commissioner. Now he will be the Watershed Commissioner. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, that is just a decision that was made. So we're going to continue to try to have good communications with them so things get done. But I just wanted to give residents a heads up about that. I do not have some data about that. I can confer with Councilman Perez on that and get back to you.
everybody doing? I know you all feel beat up on, don't you, kind of story. Well, let me, first of all, hopefully you all may know my face. It looks familiar because I'm working every level of government, including the city of Atlanta, so I know their process is very, very well. And I know about the community level. I'm a native of Paid Forest. I live in Historic Park Heights. So I know the pain you feel when it comes to not having enough help to do all the great work, right? And I'm the vice president of our association. I get it, okay? And so I'm kind of speaking off the record before I go to the congresswoman's deal, because I used to be the president of Atlanta Planning Advisory Board, which is the liaison over all the MPUs. And I hear this all the time with growing pains. You all have to give yourself credit for staying involved in your community. But your leaders need help. The people who are stepping up, they need you all to step up and serve them. It's so important. They can't do it all by themselves, okay? So I want to implore you to do that. Thank you so much, Mr. Woods, for your and your officers for your service. You all don't get paid for this, so it's a labor of love. So my name is Jennifer Freeman. I'm with Congresswoman Williams' office. I represent her for community engagement as her representative. So I attend most of the NPU meetings, neighborhood associations, events, and the nine yards. A couple of things. I have business cards. I have her annual report that I'll be happy to pass out to you. Some of you all already have it. There were some concerns. I get it. Are you all a 501? I know your foundation is a 501c3, but is your organization a 501c3?
Yes.
Okay. So, and I totally get making sure that if I'm passing out something, it's not campaign related. So I want to reiterate this. I don't work on the campaign side. I work on the U.S. House of Representatives side. And that annual report is your tax dollars in at work. It's letting you know what your congresswoman has done for you and fighting for. So keep that in mind. Also, if you all don't know that the John Lewis, the Crown Gold Post Office is now John Lewis. It's named after John Lewis. So you all should know that. So you probably have been hearing in the news about mail delays, right? So there's some people that's not receiving mail at all, okay? And so I need you all to go to our website at nehemawilliams.house.gov. I do have our business cards and it has none of that. If you have any concerns about the post office, we need you to fill out a privacy release form. That's the way that we will let the post office know that our constituents are concerned about this issue, right? And then we could act on you all's behalf as a liaison to see what we can do to help. We help with SBA, we help with if you have tax return payments that you can't get refunds from, we help with that. We help with passports, visas, and also with veteran affairs. And I wanted to make sure you all knew about a grant. So these are some grants that were awarded. The Department of Labor awarded $98 million in grants to support training, employment, services to young people, increases in apprenticeship, and high demand careers. And there were several of them. And the one that's in our district is called Georgia Building Trades Academy Incorporated. They received $1.5 million. So you all just need to know about that as it relates to funding and youth when it comes to those types of trades. And that's all that I have for you all. You will be seeing me from time to time. If it's not me, it will be Ernest Boston, okay? Just thank you so much, Ms. Woods, for your If you all have any questions, let me know. I have business cards and the annual report back. Thank you.
This is only take a minute. We started this initiative called Grove Park Gives Back, and Dorothy and I, or anybody who wants to be involved, we figure out ways that we can give back to the community. And one way was my nephew, who grew up in Grove Park, recently got a barber's license, and he was bragging, and I said, okay, we'll come to Bankhead, where you're from, and give free haircuts whenever you get a chance. And he came out the very same day and said, I'm gonna give back to Grove Park. And we sat out just outside and gave free haircuts to anybody who wanted to come up, and most of the people were the people in our neighborhoods who don't come to these, who were kind of disenfranchised or left out. So it's a pleasure to serve them. We're looking for ways to not just invite people in to this meeting, but to go out to the community and serve those people.
I just wanted to let you guys know that early voting ends on the 17th of May. So I encourage you to do early voting if that's the way you like to get your voting done. It is for House seats as well as state seats, as well as our Fulton County seats. They're important. There's some debates that you can engage with, and I will put those and have access to them on our platform and our website. For those who want to get informed about what candidates or platforms are standing on. So I will make those available to everyone. The other thing I wanted to let you guys know about, summer is about to kick off and the kids are going to be out of school. Dogwood Library sends us lots of good information about the things they have going on at the branch, which is right across the street. The summer reading kickoff carnival is happening on June 1st at 12 o'clock at the Dogwood Library, so please make plans to attend. They basically they keep the kids reading all summer, so they don't waste away on video games and iPads and whatever else. And they are also doing a Piccadilly Puppets event on 6/12 at 10:30, and I think this is for young readers, songs, as well as a Mother's Day take-home craft event called Mama Mama Storytime, and that's on May 9th. That's what it's for. From 4 to 5:15. Please support Nikita in the library. They really want us to be over there. If we can get, we'll give back. I would want to give back to them. Maybe I can think of a way to do that, because it's not engaged as much as it should be as a resource here in the city or in a neighborhood. That's all I want to share.
And then 7 to 8 acres of a site just south of Eric Johnson Road as
part of a catalytic comprehensive redevelopment area that will include up to about 200 new homeownership units and about 200 small multifamily units, both located on the Gunflow Park site, and then another 250 units at multifamily. It will include up to 20,000 square feet of new retail. We're thinking cafes, restaurants, convenience stores, daycare space on both of the sites, both here along Johnson Road and then here inside the site. And then Gunflow Park is also going to include a new, really we're going to try to build a 60-acre park, but just on the site alone, it's going to include a new 20-acre park. The site's only going to be about 40% redeveloped. We're going to maintain its topography, its canopy, and introduce a new publicly accessible park. Some other really exciting things I want to talk about, I wish I had more time, is improvements to Jones Avenue, which will include stormwater improvements along Johnson Road as well, to reduce flooding and stormwater issues, and also an extension along Allen Drive here that leads into the Gunflow Park site so that we can improve accessibility into the site, connections between Allen Park, Grove Park, and potentially the rest of the neighborhood, both pedestrian, vehicle, all this great stuff. The last thing I want to talk about that's really, really exciting is a new trail that's going to be built that would connect Proctor Creek Greenway across Proctor Creek and would run in two directions. The first would run south into Grove Park, the second would run west into Allen Park, and allow neighbors both at Allen Grove Park and in the surrounding community to be able to access each other, be able to visit all the cool new park amenities and retail amenities of the building on the site. One of the things I want to know that's really exciting about this is usually folks go up there and they talk about a plan, it's very high level. This is going to happen. We already have funds allocated to build this. We've created a new development entity called the Atlanta Urban Development Corporation that's responsible for public land development that was created for, this is one of three different project areas that it's created to lead, that's staff. And this is 6 months into a community-oriented process to rezone and asking for rezoning of the Gun Club Park and the Johnson Road sites. And so what we're asking for support, not for tonight, but we'd love to be able to come back next month, is a vote of support from Grove Park to support rezoning of this property from an R4 to what we call a DDMU, which is a mixed-use, like moderate residential density designation for Gun Club Park. And then for Johnson Road, the change in the zoning would be from RG3 to MRC3. Will allow for, it's already zoned for multifamily, but what it would allow for is effectively new commercial mixed use and a slightly more intense development on this. So that this is going to be like a five-story structured park. So there's a lot of details here. I'm not going to try to explain everything. We have a couple of documents that we're going to love to share with y'all. One, the first is a 120-page final report that chronicles the entire planning process, the three public meetings we had, all the different stakeholder engagement, the online survey. It also will talk about sort of the conditions, a lot of the decisions that led to this, and talk in more detail about some of the awesome public improvement and recommendations that we're planning as part of this project. The second document is a 17-page summary of the 120-page document. We're going to send it out so you don't have to read the whole thing, but if you really want to, you can read the entirety of it. We are looking for rezoning. I came from another meeting tonight, so I was at Allman Carey Park earlier. We want to make sure we're talking to y'all. We're going to talk to West Highlands. We're talking to NPUG. We're talking to NPUJ. And we really want a demonstration support for this project because we need the rezoning to be able to bring all of these awesome things to the community. So we're going to be in behind. We're going to stay happy to answer more questions from this group. I missed probably like two dozen things that I'd love to talk about. But thank you for your time.
We passed out handouts, so you have some quick facts about the development and Matt's contact email is at the top if you want to reach out with questions throughout the month as well. But I have the information straight up here. If anyone didn't get a handout, we have a couple extra that we can pass out to you. Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah. What process are you going to go for the region? What are you
going to
do with those steps and if you haven't started?
Do you want to help?
Sure.
So that's, we have, like, I want to. So, what I would love to do is we would love for y'all to help us there, right? I don't want to come up with it. I don't know that. So I would, we know it needs a name change. We would love for this to be a process that's led by the community. We want to public voting and stuff. So absolutely, we're going to change it, and we need your help to do it. And it'll happen probably after we select the developer. So it'll be probably about 6 months or so. And like I said, it's not the last time we're going to be here. We'll be coming back, and we'll give y'all a chance to get some good feedback.
I'll just full transparency. I'm on the AEDC board. I didn't know they were going to be here tonight, so I'm not going to be a witness. I will say, and I'll leave it to people that have questions, maybe help us share why rezoning, not only this, is important. I always try to advocate for communicating that you don't have to accept it, anything, but rezoning is important for development when we get to where we want to go. Because more housing of all types helps price pressures in the neighborhood, helps price pressures across the city. But maybe just talk a little bit about how that impact, how you're impacting the different mixes of housing. I think it's important to kind of share with people, you know, what the affordable, what's in the middle, what's market rate, just so that people can get a flavor of that, so that we don't get people scared at the last.
Yeah, I skipped over it.
And just a general number of units, that's all.
So I mentioned before the unit count. I think there's about 400 units in Grunfeld Park and 250 on Johnson Road. One of the things that we heard in our community engagement process was, if we have like a variety of different housing types, you don't just want, you know, cookie cutter stuff. If you're going to build multifamily, can you make it like smaller multifamily? And so we spent a lot of time thinking about that. Another thing we heard was, can we make it a mixed income community? But it isn't just, you know, concentrated affordable housing in one building here, market rate and everything else. And so what we call it is an integrated community. And we need an integrated community for an integrated people. In Gunfield Park, we mentioned 200 affordable homeownership units, 200 rentals. And if you look at it, it's really hard to tell. This is just an example of what is a rental and what is homeownership. There's nothing going to be taller than 3 stories. There's going to be a lot of walk-ups, a lot of townhomes, a lot of tents, tight single families so we can preserve the canopy. And on top of this, 30% of all units in Buckfield Park are going to be affordable. And which that, deeply affordable. So we talk about affordable, it's like what levels. Y'all, we use a language of AMI, so area median income. But at least 20% of the rental units are going to be priced, let's say they're one bedroom, they're going to be priced at about $1,000 a month. Right, which is, for new construction, it's extremely affordable. For the new construction homes, we're going to have at least 25% of the homeownership product be affordable. And about half of those are going to be affordable at prices at 80% AMI, which means for a 3-bedroom, it's going to be priced at about $250,000 for that. And it's like a 1,400 square foot. They're not built like that. So that's on the Gunfield Park site. On the Johnson Road site, which you can see, if y'all can squint, you can see it at the top. That's going to be more like a typical multifamily mixed-use project, like some of the stuff you see along the Beltline. So we wanted to bring in the scale, more like a village, lower residential, more residential here. When you get to Johnson Road, that's almost like the cornerstone, the commercial center of the community. In addition to doing 250 multifamily, 30% of those will be affordable. When I say affordable, I mean deeply affordable. 20% will be affordable at 50% AMI again. So a lot of those units, we're doing 250 units at, let's say 250 multifamily units, 50 of those are going to rent at about $1,000 a month. And then we're going to have 10,000 square feet of commercial that sits on bottom of that. So really, I mean, the larger comprehensive vision for this is really exciting because it's a trail-connected community. You want people to be able to walk from Gunfield Park, be able to cross the street, get on Crocker Creek Trail, walk up to the convenience store on Johnson Road, be able to grab the milk, the eggs, whatever, and be able to walk back home. Maybe pick up the kids at Boyd Elementary. It's really about bringing a tight-knit, connected community, and also bringing like the center point of all these different areas together into a place that we think represents this area. Like we don't want just this to be an exclusive Montegrade community. You want the demographics to represent this community. You want it to represent Crow Park. You want it to be accessible for folks that have lived here for a long time. Hopefully, we'll continue to build it. And so it's a very exciting opportunity, building affordability. The last thing I'll say is that affordability is going to be permanent. It's not going to be a situation where you're talking about affordability is going to die off after 15 years. Not even 30 years, not 50 years. This is going to be a permanent because it's going to be owned in part by the Atlanta Urban Development Corporation, which Larry mentioned as he says in the board. That means that not only is it going to stay affordable for a long time, these projects are going to be accountable to the public in a way that new multifamily development is not accountable. It is going to be not just accountable today, but it's going to be accountable 10, 15 years from now. So unlike a lot of new multifamily, you think it's going to age gracefully, it's going to age into affordability, and it's going to be a lot of new multifamily is going to be a cornerstone of this.
I have one more question. Is that park at Crockett Creek, is that already built? That's a brand new park.
It's a brand new park as far as
like, is it going to have a track or like any?
So this is another, this is just kind of like for the park, this is all just, it's all just for illustration. I talked to Trust for Public Land today. Trust for Public Land, they've done a lot of great work. They're doing the data machine. I tried to answer it. They're doing a couple of projects. But they're actually talking about donating some money to help us with the park planning process for this. We threw some ideas on the board, but you want to do a separate park planning.
Yeah.
If you want to see a track, if you want to see
certain types of track fields or whatever. Yeah. Turf would be awesome.
Yeah, all that stuff. But like I said, it's not the last time. Y'all get to see a lot of them.
What's your next meeting? Will you go fully in depth?
Next Thursday, we will be presenting at and that's virtual, so you can log in from anywhere, but we'll be doing a presentation.
Mike, we'd love to give a talk in more detail.
So I just talked to the president, so what we're going to propose, because this briefing and board, it takes quite a long time, and our zone meetings are only by Zoom, I think this is something we can do in person. So what we're proposing is that between now and the next general body meeting, we have a public meeting in person with them so that people can come with the details and ask all your questions about how this is going to affect the community. So we'll work that between them and our president, and we'll announce the date, but we'll have an open public meeting in person later this Thursday.
We have even more votes to vote. Thank you all for having us.
Any of the previous records, preferred bylaws, if we have a preliminary that comes up, I cannot take